flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
We'll start with this one in Houston. Bobby Slowick being fired there. I'm going to be honest with you. I know he did not do a great job this year, Matt, but I mean, shoot, that's a short leash for Bobby Slowick. We're talking about a guy that was potentially, you know, had head coaching interest as this time last year, decided to stick on with Houston, and then gets fired. I'm confused by this one. I don't know. What were your thoughts on Bobby Slowick getting let go in Houston?
I had a lot of thoughts and honestly a lot of feelings about this Bobby Slowick thing okay. Because first of all, as you just said, this is a guy who was interviewing with getting head coaching buzz last year, actually interviewed with the Jets this year for a head coaching job. So this is a reminder to everybody that kind of, you know, clutched their pearls about how Liam Cohen approached this whole process and, you know, the whole deal. Like,
exactly.
Folks, you got to strike when that iron is hot, because guess Absolutely. What? You have one disappointing season, they will fire your ass fast, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, though. I wouldn't say I feel conflicted about this move, because I actually think it was the right move. In my opinion, it was a necessary move. This needed to happen. I was surprised that D'Amico Ryans actually had the stones to do it, because this is a guy that he brought with him from San Francisco, you know, kind of handpicked him as that offensive coordinator. And they did have success last year, or should I say last season in Houston. And that's where I want to also say that I do think this is unfortunate for Slowick, who I think actually has a future in the league. I don't think Slowick has embarrassed himself to the point he'll never get another job. I actually wouldn't be surprised if, like, he has a second act. You know, he's an offensive coordinator somewhere at some point down the line, you know, if he learns from a few of the mistakes here that happened in Houston, which leads me to my point about why I thought this was so necessary. When I was going back and forth with people, this happened, I believe, last Friday. I was immediately struck by how many people were talking about this as like it was the wrong move, and never once mentioned offensive line. And if, like, you don't say the words offensive line when talking about the Houston Texans, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a lovely person, but I know immediately not to take your opinion seriously, because that was beyond a train wreck this year. And look, I mean, player reputation and, you know, draft pick status, it doesn't mean everything. It doesn't mean these guys are good, but there are players on the Houston Texans offensive line like Laremy Tunsil, who has been a great player for a long time. I mean, one of the best at his position for a long time. They have multiple early round draft picks on that offensive line, and I mean, it was terrible. Again, here's a couple of stats just to make this make the point. Houston not only led the league in blown blocks, according to FTN data. They led the league in blown blocks. Okay. Houston also led the league with 217 yards lost on sacks when the defense used a stunt, according to fantasy points data.
Ooh.
Like stunts and games and twists and things like that up front, from the beginning of the season to the freaking divisional round when the Texans lost, they never figured out how to fix that issue. Again, they lead the league with sacks and by a large margin, sacks lost due to those plays. 217 yards. No other team was above 200. Do you want to know how many of those sacks, the 24 sacks, were charted as on the fault of the quarterback, James Coe?
Give it to me.
Two.
Two.
Two of 24 were quarterback-caused sacks. So I think that not only was that such an issue that was a problem, that I knew the offensive line coach was not going to be back, but the inability also to adjust the offense is a huge problem because I think last season, and look, I said this on our show, James, that I thought at some point, as much as I appreciated what Slowik did, that I thought he got a little bit overrated last year because CJ Stroud and Nico Collins and Tank Dell at that point were really awesome.
Right.
I think he had some good ideas, but I also think he basically just played the Shanahan hits. And when the offense this year required them, because of the personnel, to evolve into more of a spread offense, you know, 11 personnel, they don't have a fullback anymore. They're not doing as many heavy formations, things like that. Slowik just didn't have it, both in the run and pass game. This run game was 31st in success rate when Joe Mixon was healthy. When Joe Mixon was healthy, they were 31st in the NFL. So a lot of issues here for Houston on offense. Big problems in both phases. So unfortunately, I do think this was a move that needed to happen. And I have a bigger Stroud thought about this too, but I will turn it over to you at this point.
When you say need, though, I feel like that's a little bit too strong, though, Matt. Like, why not let this guy kind of look at what happened in the difference between 2023 and 2024 and try to learn from that? I mean, he's a young guy. He's still, I know he's in a very high profile position, but he's still learning on the job, right? So yeah. I am a little bit surprised by that, because I'll tell you this. While there are certainly there's just value to be put on continuity, right? Mm-hmm. And so, by the way, Stroud himself, obviously extremely young player, right? So we get into this, I'm just hoping that Houston doesn't get into this trap of, hey, if the offense doesn't work, let's move on, and now let's overload CJ Stroud with even more playbooks, right? Like, that's, to me, let's let Stroud kind of grow into the playbook, master the playbook, master that kind of sort of feel for the game. Whereas I'm a little bit, and when I really want to put an emphasis on feel for the game, because I am a little bit concerned, right? Like, how much of this time is he going to be putting into learning the playbook versus, all right, I already know the playbook. I don't need to learn the playbook. Now I just need to learn how coverages, what I'm looking at, will impact the plays that I'm calling. And we have talked about this on the show. Does Bobby Slowik empower CJ Stroud to do those things? Because I'm not 100% sure that he does. Now, that could also have led to some of the, you know, maybe led to his firing as well, right? Because we know Shanahan feels very strongly that whatever play he has in the play sheet, there are answers to everything in the actual play. That's how he describes his playbook, which is why he says quarterbacks don't need to check, because there's already answers to a blitz. There's answers to a weak side blitz. There's answers to a strong side blitz in every single play. That's how he designs his plays. I feel like that's probably overstating it just a little bit, but Shanahan's obviously a genius in that regard. Bobby Slowik, not so much. So I don't know, man. I am surprised. And like I said, I don't disagree with you. I just feel like need feels a little strong for what we're looking at in Houston.
See, this is where I think you actually hit the nail on the head with your last point there, in that I think, and this is actually, I think the league is actually maybe realizing this too, because if you look at the coaches that have been hired this year, like 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, everybody was hiring, you know, guys off the Shanahan tree. Slowik himself is a Shanahan acolyte from San Francisco. But not every quarterback needs to be a Shanahan quarterback. Like, not everybody needs that little kind of incubator where all of those answers are baked in and you need to get under center and you need to do play action and all that stuff. And I actually think CJ Stroud should be empowered, right? Like, and I don't think that this system, I think the system is a great floor elevator, but I don't think that this system is always going to maximize the quarterback position when you have one of the guys. And I think that CJ Stroud still has all the potential in the world, despite a bit of a sophomore slump here, which I don't think was all his fault, but I think he has all the potential in the world to be one of those top 10 quarterbacks that can be like the reason that you win. I think CJ Stroud, if you go back to what he was at Ohio State and even some of his best moments as a pro, like, get that guy in the gun. Let him be a point guard. Activate like multiple position things like that. The best example of this, and I'm not saying that CJ Stroud is going to be Matthew Stafford, but like, look at the offense that the LA Rams ran with Jared Goff, which was the epitome of floor elevator incubator offense, to what they did with Stafford, which is like, oh shit, we're going empty, we're spreading the field, we're getting all, we're active. Literally what they said, activate every blade of grass. I think that's what you should do with Stroud. Lean into more stuff like that. Not everybody has to be a Shanahan quarterback. And again, we're seeing across the league now, teams are not, I'm not saying that the Shanahan system is out or anything like that. Like, I think Liam Cohen obviously comes from McVay's tree. He just got a head coaching job. There's still plenty of those guys out there.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about another Shanahan acolyte getting a coordinator job later on. I kind of like that move for Seattle, hiring Clint Kubiak. But I do think the Sean Payton system is kind of proliferating around the league right now, especially if you count like the Lions guys coming off of that tree, because Dan Campbell comes from that. So interesting, just kind of big picture thought about the league as a whole in offense. But I do think, particularly with Stroud, I would like to see them kind of move away from some of these under center play action concepts and maybe lean into more of empowering him, exactly as you kind of said there.
All right, so some names that are being bandied about here. By the way, let me throw out a few more numbers here in regards to Houston that I found to be very surprising. According to Next Gen Stats, Houston had the ninth worst EPA per dropback in the NFL. Just to kind of give you an idea of the names that are in this group, okay? Houston, ninth worst. They were just a shade above the Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco Colts.
Oh,
okay. They were just ahead of the Patriots, which were not very good. They were worse than Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. Bro, they were worse than the Pittsburgh Steelers in terms of EPA per dropback. So
you can't do that.
I don't think you can be there. I don't think you can be there. So that's kind of sort of a problem. And as Matt highlighted as well, not very good in terms of running the football. One of the lowest success rate percentages in the NFL. EPA per carry, they were kind of sort of right there in mid-range a little bit in terms of EPA per carry. But I think some of that was carried a little bit by the touchdowns this year. But anyways, okay, we move on. Let's talk about some of these names that could potentially be in Houston. They've interviewed, apparently, reportedly, Jared Johnson, Syracuse OC Jeff Nixon, and Tampa Bay's quarterbacks coach Thad Lewis. Although I do wonder if Tampa Bay will make that move to try to retain Thad and just make him the OC and move him up in house. But I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, another popular name, we're hearing this name a lot, Matt, is Rams passing game coordinator and tight ends coach Nick Caley.
Yeah, Nick Caley, I've heard really good things about Nick Caley. People speak highly of him. I do not know Nick Caley at all, but I do think there's a couple interesting things in his background. One, Tyson and I were talking about this yesterday, like kind of one little like, I wouldn't call this a trend or anything, but one interesting thing is like picking from these tight end coaches, especially these guys that are tight end coaches and passing game coordinators, because you think about it, like we talk about this all the time in fantasy. Why do tight ends struggle to like make such an early mark in the NFL for the most part, unless you're Brock Bowers and you're just kind of one of one guy? Because you got to, as George Kittle put it to me years ago, You got to block like a tackle, and you got to run routes like a wide receiver. So if you're the tight end coach, you're very in tune with not just the passing game, especially if you are the passing coordinator, but also you're very in tune with the run game and the run scheme because the tight ends are obviously involved in that. Block. So I think that's an interesting, that's definitely an interesting part of his background. But also, like, yeah, we're talking about Kaylee as a guy that is currently the Rams tight end coach slash passing game coordinator, but he's a Patriots guy, man. He was with the Patriots from 2015 as an offensive assistant until he was their tight ends coach in 2022. He had a lot of roles, again, tight end coach, fullback coach for the Patriots. So this is a guy that I love guys that come from multiple backgrounds. That was always fascinating to me with Kevin Stefanski, because Stefanski was a guy who had a lot of different, he was everywhere. He had a lot of different backgrounds. I always thought that was really fascinating with him in particular. So yeah, I always like these guys that have their hands in multiple systems, and this tight end coach kind of pipeline is a little interesting to me as well.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Threw out a different name that I was very interested in too, but I guess Chip Kelly potentially in the mix here as well, fresh off of a national a natty with Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know anything about Chip Kelly, but yeah, there is some talk that he could be interested. He could be a part of this job. You know, it might not end up being a thing. You know, they might end up interviewing like a guy on staff, like Bill Lazor, a senior offensive assistant, things like that. But yeah. I have at least heard, you know, there's at least some people that rumble that Chip Kelly could be interesting for this job. And I don't know anything about Chip Kelly I don't watch college football. That's what I mean by saying I don't know anything about Chip Kelly and his like years in the NFL were very, very early years of, although I do have a Jordan Matthews reception perception profile on the website.
Yeah, let's go.
You know, Jordan Matthews, James,
that is
like
so
the,
random. What?
Dude,
Jordan Matthews, number one, let's go.
Couple of things about Jordan Matthews, not to totally tangent us here. But Jordan Matthews, number one, he is currently a tight end for the Carolina Panthers. So
what?
I'm not... Yeah, he's still in the league, and he is a tight end. He's a tight end for the Panthers. He took a whopping like 97% of his snaps in the slot that year that I charted him.
Okay.
And he is like 6'3", 212 in it when he was at the combine. He was kind of the OG big slot receiver. 94% of his snaps that I charted in the slot in 2014 for Chip Kelly's Eagles. In the back or behind the line of scrimmage on 97.5%. He was only pressed on 6.4% of his routes that I charted. So yeah, that was kind of Chip Kelly very ahead of the curve on the big slot receiver guy that he was drafted in the second round of the 2014 draft. Like he actually had like two pretty big years to start his career. He had 972 977 yards with 8 touchdowns in back-to-back seasons in his first two years in the league. And he just completely, once Kelly was out of Philadelphia, he was completely out of there too. What an interesting career for a guy that was like part of that famed 2014 class and never, and he obviously just fizzled out and now he's a damn tight end on the Carolina Panthers. So I have charted a player that is currently listed as a TE for all the tight end charting sickos out there.
Dude, that's insane, bro. I did not know that he was still in the league. I mean, shoot, when did he get into the league? Like 2015 or something?
2014. Again, he was part of that class with like Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, Martavis Bryant, Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, Marquise Lee, wow. Kelvin Benjamin. It gets a little with Jarvis Landry. He was part of that like class that was supposed to be. You know, I mean, it was. There's a lot of good players from that class, and it was really great. Brandon Cooks, a lot of really good players to start off their careers. Yeah, Matthews got off to a pretty good start there with Chip Kelly. So I don't know, maybe. I keep joking about this, and I'm laughing with you, fantasy analysts that do this. I'm not totally laughing at you, but you know, maybe we'll see Nico Collins in the Jordan Matthews role in Chip Kelly's offense. We won't, but just a joke.